The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Boston Red Sox are going to the playoffs after beating up on the Tigers in stunning fashion. A walk-off victory by Sedan Rafaela elevates the Red Sox to a 4-3 victory in a game that really looked like it was going south. I expected that perhaps we would have to wait to see if Houston lost to clinch. Us in the war room were talking about how it wouldn't feel the same. Thankfully, it feels pretty good, at least, to get in on our own merits. We raise our record up to 88 wins, 72 losses, and hopefully set ourselves up in a good position, but we'll talk about how we're feeling. I'm Nick the Voice, joined by Terry Cushman Jr. We're the Bastards of Boston. If you want more, you can go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for great written articles. How are you feeling in general, Terry?
Well, you know, it was kind of a strange game, you know, to kind of cap off a strange season where the team kind of got worse. Like, on as far as the roster construction, you know, throughout the year, you lose Devers, but you have a big July. You know, you don't really add much at the deadline in the way of starting pitching or a bat. You did get Nathaniel Lowe, who's had some high spots, but nothing really spectacular. He nearly did hit a big home run in one of the earlier innings of the game. But yeah, and, you know, it was just a wonky night as well. Kyle Harrison looked great in flashes and just absolutely terrible. Only gave you three full innings. By the end of the fifth, you had already blown through Slayton, Matz, I think one other pitcher. And you shouldn't be winning baseball games, but, you know, it's just like 2025, the Red Sox found a way to do it. Casey Mize did everything he could do to keep that Tigers team in the game. And, you know, they had a little bit of offense, but not enough, and they've been slumping, and I don't know what their path is. I guess coming into tonight, one win and one Astros loss would get them in, so things could get a little bit tighter. I think Cleveland's about to, or at least last I checked, was losing pretty good to Texas, so we have no idea who we're going to be playing, but I guess just based on this season, it could be a brief October, could be a lengthy one. I don't know what to expect with this team the way it is.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. You know, I think I'm more afraid, I guess, or intimidated by who our potential opponents could be, because there are some great teams that are going into this with us. Initially, I was scared of the Tigers. I think everyone was a few months ago. after this month, I mean, I wish we could play the Tigers from here on out, as far as I'm concerned. Although you're right, they did play us well tonight. You know, I thought that Casey Mize really did a great job at holding our offense down. Like you said, Harrison at times, I mean, you see the stuff, you see the vision, you see what he has, but he got a little bit lucky, or very lucky, in that first inning, not to give up any runs. And eventually his luck ran out in that fourth inning. Fortunately, the bullpen was able to come out and really shut things down, which surprised me a little bit, seeing some guys like Whitlock and Chapman, of course, do what they had to do. That was not surprising. But, you know, a guy like Weissert throwing 1.1 scoreless, Zach Kelly, you know, Steve Matz. It was nice to sort of get the whole bullpen involved in this, because God knows we'll be needing them going into the postseason. And hopefully with this victory locking up our spot, I'm not sure how the seeding affects. I don't think we're going to really, you know, get that top wild card spot. I don't really think that there's much of a difference at this point between the 5 and 6 seed. I mean, just give Chapman and Whitlock a rest, you know, give your guys a break, and hopefully go into this postseason ready to contend.
Yeah, I don't really know who I'm afraid of right now. You know, when you look at this American League, I mean, the Yankees have finally heated up. They're the best team in all of baseball since the first week of August. The Blue Jays are looking like, I keep walking into that. They both can't get a bye, but you know, this is the best Blue Jays team. But I, you know, in that series that we just wrapped with them earlier in the week, it does sort of look like that Blue Jays team that's not super dynamic offensively. Like I said last night, Garrett Crochet looks like that's going to be an automatic win, but Bayo has not pitched well against them. He's got an ERA right around 5 against them. Both against the team, and his ERA at the Rogers Center also right around 5. So he's lined up to go in the second game, and that kind of feels like an automatic loss. So, you know, game 3, who knows? But the Guardians don't look particularly scary. The Mariners kind of do, actually. Maybe that's the scary team for me at the moment, actually. Especially if you're going to Seattle. But the American League isn't that scary. You just need to get a little bit hot. And could the Red Sox do it? Perhaps.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see. You know, the Mariners, Guardians, and Yankees have all been very hot, as you said. I should be afraid of the Yankees. I know I should be. You know, we've beaten them so much this year that it's kind of a double-edged sword, where you can only expect to beat a team, the same team, so many times throughout the season, I feel. And we've cashed in a lot of wins against them. But, you know, you look at how we've played them, I just can't be afraid of the Yankees necessarily. I don't feel like we're a lesser team than them in any regard. The Mariners and the Guardians scare me just because the Mariners are so hot. The Guardians were so hot. They've cooled down a little bit in the past few games. But knowing that they really did that damage to Crochet, obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't want to see a wild card bounce. I am afraid, based on the matchups, that we may be an early exit. But for tonight, at least, I'm happy to celebrate this. And, I mean, who knows? We could really shake things up. We're playing spoilers, funnily enough, for the Tigers right now. They are still fighting for their season.
They are. I'm trying to get the scores up right now just to see exactly where everything lands. So the Astros and Angels are scoreless in the top of the fourth. Where are the Guardians?
They did lose before, I believe.
They lost 7-3. Yeah. So they're at 86 wins. They're tied with the Tigers. So not only are the Tigers still very much in play here, that division is still very much in play, but Cleveland does own the wild card. So Blue Jays won, Yankees won. They both have really easy opponents, so they're both tied at 92 wins. Blue Jays have the tiebreaker over the Yankees. So if the Blue Jays win out here, they will get a bye, and then it's got to be the Mariners getting the second one, I would think. How many wins do they have? Let's see.
They're up to 90 right now.
Yeah, well, they would have to. There's no way. There's no way Cleveland or Detroit are getting there with only 86 wins at the moment. So that's so weird. Like, the one seed isn't clinched, but the two seed is.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know if that's good. That's also because at least it seems like at least one of the two byes gets beat every year, if not both. It hasn't been a good thing to get it with all that extra rest.
I agree. I'm actually relieved that we're not getting a bye. You know, I do think that that can be kind of a dangerous thing to have a team play baseball, come into your home, and, you know, you haven't really taken a live game in like 6 days or whatever. It, you know, that's a scary thing. You know, people can say momentum doesn't exist. I agree and disagree with that, you know, at different points in the conversation. But hopefully, I mean, we need the bats to keep alive. They showed up at crucial times tonight, and the sort of rally of unlikely heroes continues. Yoshida had another excellent game. Duran got a big hit when it counted. Sedan Rafaela got a big hit when it counted. And if you actually look at his last seven, even 15 games, he's hitting the ball a lot better. The same can be said for Nathaniel Lowe. We just need the best versions of these guys. How do you feel? I'm curious about the next two games. How would you approach the remainder of this series versus Detroit?
Well, if Detroit wins one game, they would have the tiebreaker over us, I'm pretty sure, as far as seeding goes, because they did sweep us. So we would have to lose the next two, actually, for them to be able to leapfrog us. So yeah. I you're getting Connelly early tomorrow, no matter what. And I would think, if that scenario I just discussed is in play, Detroit can kind of nip us. I still think Giolito is going to make his Sunday start. So I don't know if anything really changes. I mean, there's no real incentive to tank here or just relax. I mean, you mentioned Yoshida kind of heating up, Lowe heating up. Everybody just needs to focus, stay locked in, and just be ready for that Tuesday game. So I'm still balls to the wall. You're not getting Crochet no matter what. You're not getting Bayo no matter what. You know, there's just not enough rest for them to pitch again. So I still go for it.
Yeah, I like that approach a lot. You know, I saw a comment before that I would just like to highlight. It was from PK Rockman. And he said, my hot take is the Sox now relax that they have made the playoffs and the offense gets dangerous again. No more sawdust on their hands from squeezing the bat so hard while striking out. And I think that that's a very valid take, you know, because it has looked at multiple points in this season that the Sox have been trying to do too much at times. And when they let the game sort of come to them, seems to be when they do their best work. One thing that was really nice sort of on that note tonight was I feel like a lot of times this season our wins have come from big innings more than consistent scoring. Tonight was the complete opposite. We had four runs spread across four separate innings against three separate pitchers, and being able, having different guys step up in different situations to come back ultimately from a 3-0 deficit to a 4-3 victory in a walk-off fashion, I think that shows a level of resilience that you perhaps would not have seen from a Sox team over the past 3 years.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, they have maximized in certain innings and put up that 4 or 5 spot, which has been enough a lot of the time. So, you know, I can't disagree with that. And tonight, I mean, that's how you're going to, like, this this team on paper sucks. Okay. I'm not gonna mince words. This is not a sexy team on paper. Before the game started, I posted tonight's lineups for both teams, and then I posted the lineups for one of the ALCS games in 2013 when both teams were like superpowers. It was like the United States versus Russia in like a big thing. You know, that's what it was like in 2013. This is not that. These aren't how those rosters are built. Our rotations are kind of in shambles. So this team, as you were kind of alluding to tonight in various spots, will need to embrace that next man up mentality. And everyone will have to be that next man. Another guy who had a big hit, who's had the ugliest second half of any Red Sox player, was Sadon Rafaela. He needs to heat up. And maybe tonight was the spark for that.
I certainly hope so. If he could at least get, even if he doesn't get back to where he was, just get to a playable spot, you know, in the lineup, it's going to make a big difference. One guy who I think I often forget to mention, funnily enough, is Romy Gonzalez, who has just been so consistent with us this year. And he's been kind of an anchor in a lot of ways. He had a nice hit tonight. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes you feel like the guy slumps. The same can be said for Trevor Story. You know, sometimes you feel like the guy slumps and you're like, oh, there goes a ground into a double play. Oh, that was a bad at bat, all this. And then you look at like every single sample size imaginable and he's hitting well in all of them. You know, you look at this month, that month, last seven games, last 15, last 30. And Romy's just been that type of guy where all year long, he has been hitting the ball pretty well. Same can be said for Trevor Story. We're going to need them, I think, going into this. I don't think we're going to win it solely with the, I guess, the underdogs, you could call them. But having those guys support, you know, if Bregman starts hitting, if Duran, if Romy, if Story, if those guys have a surge in this playoffs, I'm feeling pretty all right about the supporting cast, not based on the names, like you said, because you're absolutely right, but just based on where we are in the season.
There's a lot of unanswered questions, and we're here, and we just need to make the most of it. More likely than not, we're going to play the Blue Jays or the Yankees, I would say. You're two games up on both, you know, Cleveland and Detroit. You're two games back from the Mariners. I guess either way, you still can't take the two seed from them. You know, because the Yankees or the Blue Jays are gonna be the one seed. So I don't know. I really don't know what to expect. If we go into Yankee Stadium and that's game one of the playoffs, that's a hostile environment. And I think only Judge and Stanton on the team really know what this rivalry is, because they were the only two on that 2018 team when we beat them. We've owned the Yankees. They have not knocked us out of the postseason in 22 years. That's a lot of dominance over your chief rival. So I don't know if that Yankees team, if that's going to be weighing on them. I mean, I would think it's probably just another series. But how will this Red Sox team handle a three-game set, all of which will be played in Yankee Stadium if that's how it shakes out? I don't think the Rogers Center will be quite the same with the Blue Jays. I expect it to be rocking. I mean, the Blue Jays do have a big following. That is a big market. So that's the interesting thing to me. And how will Garrett Crochet handle that? How will he handle the pressure? Because it's not just any start. And he's coming off of a very good start, but he wasn't trending very well before that start. Not, well, I shouldn't say not trending well, but he wasn't trending super great. You know, he looked like he was a little bit gassed.
Definitely. And struggling with the home run, quite frankly. He was giving up a lot of those, you know, towards the end of the season. It's a good question. I think that a lot of this team needs seasoning, so to speak. You know, you look at the lineup, you look at the roster, and it's just such a shame that we don't have Anthony in this. I would feel much more confident with a guy like Anthony leading off versus the Yankees. But for some reason, I don't know. I've seen the composure this team has shown. I've seen the resilience this team has shown. And I feel like they're capable, significantly more so at least, of handling those big spots and those big moments than like I said, you know, the sort of comparison over the last 3 years. This is easily one of the most electric Red Sox teams in the last 5 years, you know, going all the way back to 2018, you'd have to go to find someone to beat them. 2021, I think, maybe takes the edge. But I mean, being able to scrap and fight like they have, and, you know, people early in the season were calling them the power of friendship Sox. It does come across like that. Hopefully the veterans like Bregman and Story can go out there and hopefully rally the troops a little bit. But a guy like Crochet, a guy like Bayo, from what I've seen this year, a guy like Lowe, who's been in that situation before, I'm hoping that they're able to steady the ship. And for some reason, I just don't necessarily see this team's nerves getting to them. I feel like if we get beaten, it's by the other team in the playoffs specifically, rather than what we've been seeing in at some points in the regular season, which is the Sox beating themselves.
All excellent points. You know, Bregman arguably is the most experienced postseason player of anyone right now. I mean, 7 straight years to the LCS. And that streak finally got broken last year. Probably won't even be a playoff team at all this year. You know, Nathaniel Lowe, I mean, I guess it is easy to forget he was just playing in a World Series a couple years ago, winning it. Story, his veteran leadership, like you said, is important. But, I mean, he's not talking about these epic Octobers he's ever played, because he's only played one and it was brief. And they were out. No, actually, did he play in that one? I don't even know. I think he did, actually. Yeah,
I think so.
16 or 17 was his rookie year, so he would have played. Yeah, my bad. That was 2018, I'm pretty sure, when they played it. So yeah, you've got those guys. I don't think Jaron Duran, I mean, his career in life has been so chaotic. What's a hostile playoff environment? You know, Romy's just doing his thing, and yeah. And, you know, you look at not so much 2018, but in 2013, Xander Bogaerts had some spots in that one. And then ultimately when Middlebrooks had that interference call, Bogaerts played third base the remainder of the World Series. So you did have a young kid up during that run. 2007, you had Pedroia and Ellsbury. So it does suck that Roman Anthony won't be able to experience the month like they did.
Yeah, it really does. Now, something that a commenter, Sam, has pointed out is the possibility. I mean, we have seen that Meyer is back doing baseball activities. Alex Cora 4 hours ago would not rule out a playoff return for Marcelo Meyer. I just, funnily enough, I'm just not entirely sure where he fits aside from, I mean, his defense. But I mean, if he's not 100%, you know, it's funny. I feel so confident right now with Romy at second, Story at short, Bregman at third. I would hesitate to really take any of those guys out for him.
DH is the only spot, really. And, you know, Massa's gotten hot, and I don't know. I don't know what extremely mediocre Massa is versus an ice cold Meyer is, and which one really has the upside. You could make the argument that, well, put Meyer at second and you've at least got the defense, and now Romy will, maybe he and Lowe will switch off between DH and first base. So I don't really know. I'm kind of bummed that Christian Campbell wasn't given an opportunity, maybe to DH, because now with him, I mean, this isn't really the show for this conversation, but now you have to go through the whole winter wondering what you have in Campbell and what his role will be. You know, so why not play him at some point in September, you know, and see what you have, for next year.
It's just so funny how I was very, very ready to call it quits on Masataka Yoshida. And it seems like, I mean, this dude's September, he just heated up at the right moment. Sometimes that really can matter. You know, if he goes into the postseason and does what he's been doing, which is actually finding the gaps, hitting the ball in the air a bit more, you know, figuring out just how to hit a little more patiently, I guess. It is funny how, you know, in that ninth inning, he did ground out to second. You know, he had to do it once a game, you know, even when he had three hits. But yeah, you know, I just keep returning to the idea that this team is getting hotter when it counts, offensively at least. And, you know, you still have some holes. You have Willie Abreu, where you're like, okay, when's he going to wake up? You know, is he going to wake up? Will it be too late? Is Carlos Narvaez going to have a resurgence, or is he going to be good for a double or in a home run every now and again? But, you know, you've got to feel good right now, at least with a decent handful of these players, which is more than I think I was saying on this date a month ago, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, what's your biggest concern? Is it the offense? Is it the rotation? Or is it the bullpen? For me, it's not the bullpen. I would rule that one out. But I think it's the rotation. So,
yeah, I think I would give the edge to the offense, although both do concern me.
Yeah, Bale just looks a little bit tired. Giolito has not looked good. I think he hasn't gotten through five innings. So I would say he's probably been on the luckier side that he hasn't been hit harder than he has. Connolly, early tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting start for him because this potentially could be the best lineup he's faced. I mean, Riley Green shouldn't theoretically tattoo him. He's their best hitter, but doesn't do a ton versus lefties, as they pointed out tonight. Tonight was actually, you know what? I'm going to give Apple TV credit. This was the best broadcast I've seen them do this year, and we've had to suffer through at least four games. But they did a good job pointing out, you know, the trends of a lot of these guys. And Detroit, despite being the number nine team in MLB versus lefties, Red Sox are eighth, by the way, so we're pretty equal in terms of lefties. It will be interesting to see how Connolly early handles the staff here, because I don't trust Harrison. And I'd be shocked if he gets a start. He looks like a two or three inning guy to me. I think that's what his role will be. And need that.
As far as the postseason is concerned, for sure.
Yeah, you need that anyway. You need that guy somewhere. So if that's him, then that's fine. I don't know if Tolley really makes the roster. You can change the roster every round. So you're... wild card roster can look different from your LDS roster. And then if there's injuries, you can change it during that round. So, but I don't see where Tolley fits in. Unfortunately, he's just, got called up way too early, kind of out of necessity. And but getting back to the rotation, feel good about Crochet, feel good about Bayo other than against the Blue Jays. And then I guess Giolito's still your number three. I don't love it. And I mean, and it's not necessarily him from a stuff standpoint. The dude hasn't had this type of a load since 2023, and he was getting shelled that year. He hasn't been good since 2021. So, you know, he turned a lot of corners this year, but I don't know. And then, like I said with early, that's why tomorrow's interesting. This is the best offense he'll have faced. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I like the challenge that our team is going through, even if it does result in, you know, some sort of early exit from the postseason, I enjoy the fact that we went up against the Blue Jays and the Tigers last. You know, I think coming into that series, or more so looking ahead at it a month ago, it was a very terrifying prospect. Like, oh, great. You know, we're going to be knee deep in a wild card race, and we're going to have to prove it against two of the better teams in the league. And, you know, despite that, after having gone through it, I mean, worst case scenario, I suppose, you split the six games 3-3. Best case scenario, I mean, really, you could knock Detroit out of the playoffs, put Houston in there instead, depending on if they feel like taking it or not. But, you know, whoever we go up against right now, whether it's the Yankees or the Blue Jays, which, like you said, I think are the two likeliest options, I feel like I'm not confident going into that series in the sense that I don't think it's going to be easy by any means, but I also don't feel intimidated. You know, it feels like this team is going to show us who they are. They're getting that opportunity. And if they get bounced, so be it. It kind of feels like I saw someone in chat before say it's almost like they're playing with house money. And I don't disagree. I'll still be disappointed in a grander sense, you know, because I think we all had very high expectations coming into the season with this roster. And there's a lot of things that can be complained about. But for right now, with the state of this team, I'll say, you know what, guys, go get them.
I think the best case scenario is the Red Sox win it in two games. And if that happens, that would line up Giolito for Saturday, which would be game one of the LDS. And then Sunday would be regular rest for Garrett Crochet. And then Bayo the following day. So that's the best case if you go an extra game, if it takes three, and it probably will, honestly. It'll just be interesting to see how they set up that rotation for the LDS series.
Definitely. I mean, no doubt about it, we're going to need Crochet and Bayo at their best. I mean, there's very little room for error, unfortunately, even though the wild card series was expanded up to three games. You know, there's still, you got to be good. Your ace has one shot to be an ace. Your offense has one shot to shell an ace. And you're hoping that the cards sort of fall in your favor. I agree with you. When it comes to number three, you know, Giolito is probably the choice that I would go with. I don't trust anyone, any of the kids, really. You know, they're too young. I don't know who else I would put in that role. When it comes to the bullpen, like you mentioned before, I think that's the least area of concern just because of the added day's rest. You have Chapman, you have Whitlock. Slayton looks to have shaken off quite some rust. And I mean, hopefully you'll only need maybe one inning out of that middle. That's sort of the soft part. It's just going to be a very interesting series and a very nerve-wracking, very sort of edge of your seat inducing experience, I imagine. I'm not going to be expecting a big 16-1 blowout or whatever it was when we faced the Yankees in the NLDS in 2018 or even, you know, how dominant we looked in the wild card and divisional series in 2021, I'm definitely expecting to have to fight tooth and nail for everything we can possibly get.
Well, let's say we play the Yankees game one. Let's say that's the opponent, and let's say they do beat us, which would be terrible because you can't really lose the crochet game, but let's just say it happens. I don't think Aaron Judge will be dumb enough this time to play New York, New York, outside the Red Sox clubhouse.
No, but Jazz Chisholm might.
True. He should pick a different song, but yeah. Yeah, Chisholm, his shit talk game is elite, so I'll give him that. But yeah, my final thought on this has nothing to do with the actual series, but seeing how pathetic the American League is, there is no need to ever expand this playoff roster or the number of teams is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the format.
More than six, because you will potentially, on a bad year, maybe have, if you're going to seven or eight teams, potentially, you know, you could have a sub 500 team. Don't dilute it even more is what I'm getting at. This is, you know, they're going to add a couple of teams. It'll be what, we're a 30 team league now. So eventually it'll be a 32 team league at least, which I think is dumb because two teams right now are technically homeless and we're going to add two more. But just leave it the way it is. Don't mess with it anymore.
And yeah, I agree. I mean, I mentioned, I forget if it was on my last appearance or maybe the previous, that we were in this race, and it's a shame that one of these seven American League teams is going to get bumped, because they all seven deserve, you know, a nod just for being here. But I completely agree with you that, as much as I do hold that sentiment, like, oh man, poor Houston, or oh man, poor Detroit, or I would have said, of course, oh man, Boston Red Sox, it's just not enough teams in each league to have a 17 format. And even if you do extend it, like you said, I don't know how much that would really impact. And unfortunately, we'll probably get that eventually, a 32 team league, seven playoff format, sort of like the NFL, but it's a shame. And it's funny because the NL is sort of having the same thing. Actually, after tonight's results, the Reds and the Mets are currently tied for that final wild card spot. Everyone else is at least into the playoffs. I'm not sure if the actual seeding is in stone yet. I don't think it is. But the Reds and the Mets are fighting it out for that final spot, both sitting at 82 and 78.
I hope it's the Reds just for Francona. I don't like that. I don't like Steve Cohen. I don't like Juan Soto, based on everything I've heard. Other than that, I'm not old enough to be mad about 1986. So, yeah. So hopefully the Reds get in. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, if you just go back 15 years, the trade deadline was so much more epic when only four teams on both sides got in.
Oh, yeah.
All four of those teams probably looked to improve. And then there were a couple of fringe teams that were trying to make it that probably made big moves. So, I mean, the trade deadline just isn't what it used to be anymore. And a lot of teams just don't really try. I mean, arguably the Red Sox didn't try. I mean, I said last night, you very easily could have had Joe Ryan, Eugenio Suarez, and Rafi Devers on this roster without massively blowing up the farm. And we chose not to. Like, imagine if those three guys are on this team, maybe you win the division, and then maybe you go to the World Series. I predicted this team to go to the World Series. That was my preseason prediction. And if it happens, I'm not going to take credit for it because the path was just so weird, you know? Like, I didn't foresee it happening without Devers. Foolishly, I thought Tristan Casas was going to be serviceable at a minimum. Maybe he would have had a month-long IL stint, but I thought he would factor in. I thought Bregman would be better than he was for, like, the full season. I thought Buehler was seriously going to be your second best pitcher. You know, there were so many things I based it on, and none of those really worked out. So I will not take credit if we go to the World Series, but it's just too bad we didn't try, and we easily could have been the best team in the American League with a good deadline. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, we stand at 88 wins right now. I think my preseason prediction was 88. I think by the time I interviewed for the Bastards, I bumped it up to 89. And it's possible that, you know, if we do win one of the next two games, we'll finish at 89. If we sweep and get to 90, that would be sweet. Even if I'm right, though, right on the money with my guess, you know, midseason, this season has gone nothing, like you said, like I would have predicted. I mean, it's bizarre. It really is. I saw something funny the other day, just to, you know, throw in a little tangent. I think it was either earlier today or yesterday. I don't quite remember. It was Dustin May. Good news on Dustin May from the Red Sox. And I was like, he's not pitching for us. I don't know. You know, he's having a good recovery, which awesome. Great for him. I hope so. I wish him nothing but health. Do not put him on this postseason roster. I can't. There's no place for that as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we just need to forget that trade happened. And I literally did. Like when I was going through it a little while ago, I'm like, I thought we traded for one more, but.
Yeah, you're looking at, like, you know, on MLB, Matt's, you're like, who's in the bullpen right now? Oh, no, who else was it?
You know? Matt's and Lowe are the one. And that wasn't even a deadline move. It was just a waiver wire thing. But yeah, I had us at 93 wins was my total.
Yeah. And, you know, in the two games left, if we win five, you'll be right on the money.
Yeah, that'll be a rule in 10 years. The last game's worth four wins.
Just to shake up the wild card, give anyone a chance.
The Dodgers will miss the playoffs, and that's they'll have to put that rule in there.
Oh man, no, it's gonna be. I don't know. I was expecting to feel. I don't know. I was expecting to feel more conflicted. I think tonight, more bittersweet, because I am a bit pessimistic going into this postseason. I did say previously, and I stand by it, that whether we narrowly missed the playoffs or whether we narrowly got in and got bounced in the first round, it wouldn't really feel that different to me based on evaluating the season. And yet right now, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, in the war room, we were saying this won't feel right if we clinch a playoff spot because we lose, but so does Houston. You know, going out there, getting a walk-off, that does give a little bit of energy to me right now. And the idea that, okay, let's go face Detroit in the next two games, see if we win one or two, and hopefully walk into the postseason with a little bit of optimism, you know, whether we're going against the Yankees or the Blue Jays. I don't know. I'm feeling a little more positive right now, and maybe that high, the champagne, right, will come down in a few days when it's actually time to put your nose to the grindstone and go play some playoff baseball. But for right now, you know, you got to celebrate the small success. I'm not happy with Breslow still, of course. All of my gripes still exist. But I'm happy for the players right now because these guys earned a spot. Good on them.
Yeah, and, you know, like we saw 4 years ago, you just got to get hot and you can go on that deep run.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. And, you know, we do have a pinch runner in the form of Nate Eaton, who stole another base tonight, funnily enough. You know, that type of stuff can matter in the playoffs, you know, as we've seen in the past. Certainly feel better with him on the bench than a David Hamilton, for example.
Yeah, I mean, he'll give you a little bit better bat. I would imagine he'll still play if there's a lefty. I don't see why you could keep Willier out there for the defense, but Eaton, I haven't looked at the metrics, but I don't think he's a bad defender.
He at least passes the eye test for me.
Yeah. So he'll probably get some starts, I would think. But Ref Snyder could. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Who do the Tigers have pitching tomorrow? Is it announced? It was a TBD last time I looked.
Yeah, I'd have to look. And Scooble, if needed, will go on Sunday. So let's see. The Tigers are still TBD.
Okay, then. That'll be interesting. I'm wondering what's going through the mind of that organization with their tailspin just continuing. I mean, this team has had an absolutely disastrous month. I mean, completely disastrous. Funnily enough, you know how, like, if you, you know, you sometimes go to, like, the MLB page for a team, and they'll have, like, a little logo at the top, or a little saying, rather. The Tigers right now have Built Different at the top of theirs, and after this month, I'm thinking they need a refund. That was like a drunken IKEA team or something like that. I mean, what have they won? Like,
if they don't get in, this collapse will be worse than what we had in 2011 when Francona was fired the very next day.
I don't want to misquote. Yeah, it looks like 6 wins in September total they have. So, I mean, it's very possible they miss the postseason altogether, at which point, I mean, you can't fire Hinch. As I've said before, I don't think. But God, don't you want to fire someone at that point, you know?
Yeah, if anybody wants to listen to a good podcast for the Tigers, Days of Roar is a great podcast. And we had one of their co-hosts on, and I think he got fired. I don't know. He's not there anymore. But it was fun to have him at some point last winter. But I did listen to them the other day. And they're putting a lot of it mostly on ownership. No one's really blaming AJ Hinch by the looks of it. And their trade deadline, they added Charlie Morton, who was DFA'd last weekend, by the way. I didn't even know that.
No, neither did I.
And Chris Paddock. So they Craig Breslowed the trade deadline. And, you know, they could have added Joe Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And Scooble's a free agent here in another year or two. And they haven't locked him up. So, you know, everybody assumes Detroit has this long window. I don't know if they do, really. So, yeah,
it'll be really interesting to see. You know, my sympathy goes out to the Detroit fans out there who, you know, early in the season, I think I handily handed the American League to, you know, and it wasn't even close. Turns out, you know, a 6-win month. We'll change some narratives at the end of the year.
I don't even know what to say. It's brutal. Randy, showing his age, is comparing it to 1978, which was the Bucky bleeping Dent year. So I think the Yankees won it that year. That was the Reggie Jackson. Yeah, I could be wrong. I shouldn't be talking about baseball history. Yeah,
sure.
Baseball wasn't my first sport, so admittedly, I'm okay with history, but not super great. Don't take me to trivia night for baseball. yeah. So I don't know, and I don't think it really matters, really, because I don't think they're built to go through the postseason, much like I don't think we are. And in fact, I think we're probably built a little bit better than the Tigers. So you can get in to save face, but that I think that's all it's going to be.
I mean, it's really incredible looking back at our earlier encounter with the Tigers and how they just walloped us, how they outclassed us completely. It was embarrassing, you know? And to go into this series, it does look like the Tiger has lost its teeth in a lot of ways. It will be interesting to see. And I mean, overall, I'm excited for playoff baseball just because I'm a baseball fan, love watching the atmosphere change. But the fact that we're going to be in it and we break that drought, it's going to feel a lot different. And it's kind of funny because the past 3 years I've said, you know, oh, I'm actually, you know, enjoying watching the whole entirety of the baseball playoffs because I'm not hyper fixated on my team. I'm not going to let my mood be ruined by my team getting bounced or anything like that. This year will be, you know, right back to where we started from when it comes to 2021. Hopefully we can go on a decent run here. But, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say on the matter, I think.
I think that's all we can say.
Yeah. Hopefully we go into tomorrow, take a good game. I mean, we don't really know the pitching matchups. Chris Paddock is available to pitch, you know, so it's very possible he'll make an appearance. Certainly not going to be Charlie Morton, apparently. But yeah, you know, so looking for just, you know, more hunger, more fight from the guys. If they want to hang a Tiger's head on the wall, they have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I mean, there's no benefit to tanking, so you may as well just ride it out and see, you know, just make sure the guys are all seeing the ball well and just kind of getting calibrated for the next three games next week.
Yeah, they have the luxury of treating this as a bit of hardcore practice, you know, just get that experience. And hopefully, you know, this isn't the last series, you know, we'll see hosted in Fenway. I mean, it probably, or the last series to end in Fenway, I guess, you know, I'd love to see Fenway one more time, you know, in the postseason, although that does mean John Henry gets attendance.
Yeah, it was kind of painful watching him field side as the team celebrated. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying not to be negative, but
yeah.
What a prick.
I know. I think we can end it there, honestly. I think that's a good note.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We do appreciate it. This has been a good show after a good game. And a good with a question mark season. We'll see how it ends up here. Definitely looking forward to it. Spirits are high. Hopefully they continue that way for a couple more weeks at the very least. I've been Nick, joined by Terry. We have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for watching or listening or commenting. We do appreciate it. Have a good one, everyone. Let's go Red Sox. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.